Evam.
In this way.
Saha.
Hi ajamil. Viplavata
sarva dharmaha.
Who gave up all religious principles. Dasya pataki. The husband of a prostitute. Patita. Fallen. Garya karmana. By being engaged in abominable activities. Nipachyamanaha. Falling. Nirahe. In hellish life. Hatavrataka. Who broke all his vows. Sadyaha. Immediately. Vimuktaha. Liberated. Bhagavat Nama. The holy name of the Lord. Grinan. Chanting. Translation, Ajamil was a Brahmana who, because of bad association, had given up all his Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus, he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayana. So you can repeat. Ajamil was a Brahmana.
Ajamil was a Brahmana.
Who, because of bad association,
had given up all Brahminical culture
and religious principles, becoming most fallen.
He stole, drank,
and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. So there's no purport to this particular text. So in that case, I read the next text with its purport. So I'll just read this. Nataparam karmani bandakrintanam mumukshatam tirtha padanu kirtanat nayat punat karmasu sajate mano rajastamobhyam kalilam tatonyata. So the translation is, therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga. Because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It has actually been seen that even after achieving so-called perfection, many karmis, yonis, and yogis become attached to material activities again. Many so-called swamis and yogis give up material activities as false, jagan mithya. But after some time, they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools or performing other activities for the benefit of the public. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. The perfect conclusion, however, is that if one is actually desirous to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. In the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits, which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in Raja and Tama, that is, passion and ignorance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, second chapter, text 19, Tada rajastamo bhavat kamalavandayaschihi chitaritaranavidham stitam sattve prasiddhati. As a result of Raja and Tama, one becomes increasingly lusty and greedy. But when one takes to the process of chanting and hearing, one comes to the platform of goodness and becomes happy. As he advances in devotional service, all his doubts are completely eradicated. Vidyate hridaya grantish chijyante sarva sangshayaha. Thus the knot of his desire for fruitive activities is cut to pieces. So Om Gana Tivadanda Sha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Miritam Gena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. The discussion in these two verses is very much related to the beginning of this canto. The beginning of this canto has a test that Shukadeva Goswami is giving to Maharaj Parikshit. Devotees sometimes get tested in their devotional service by the guru. So this is a philosophical test. What happened is that previously in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have various hells described. I'm sure you've read about them. Like, if devotees harass or get harassed by a non-devotee, that person is put through a sugarcane press. You know what a sugarcane press is? Again and again, they put your body through a sugarcane press, and you don't become unconscious. You know, if you do that now in this world, you'll become unconscious. Obviously, you'll die. But when the Yamadutas torture you, you don't die and you don't become unconscious. So the pain is excruciating. Excruciating means, I guess, a lot of pain, unlimited pain. And there's other punishments. For example, a brahmana who has illicit sex, he gets to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex. That means, red-hot means like if you take an iron, I don't know if any of you have taken an iron and you put it in fire. Or anyone's worked with electronics, they know what a soldering iron is. You know what a soldering iron is? So if you have a lady's body like a soldering iron. I remember when I used to do a little electronic things, I would fix circuits and everything. By accident, if I touched the soldering iron, the tip of it was, ah! And then I had, you know, put so much medicine on. But imagine the whole body on a soldering iron. And the Yamadutas make you keep doing it over and over and over again. Pretty good. And then other punishments, like if you're a brahmana and you like drinking kava, if you're in the Ram Mandalis, and you drink kava, guess what? You have to drink, in Yamanaras' planet, you have to drink red, hot, molten lead. You know what molten lead is? It's lead or metal that you heat so hot, it's even hotter than a soldering iron. You heat so hot that it's liquid. I don't know if you've ever seen liquid metal. It's very hot. And imagine you take a drink of it. Delicious. Quench it, you never get thirsty again. Anyway, so that's the punishment for the Ram Mandali people, that they have to drink that. Can you imagine? We should go there and tell them that. You're drinking kava now, and then you'll get some red-hot liquor in the next life, or with the Yamadutas. Or there's another punishment where one engages in simple activities, one has to roll a stone up a hill, and the stone rolls back on you and squishes you, and then you have to roll it up again. Even in the Greek mythology, there's this person called Sisyphus. I don't know if any of you have studied this, but I studied. This person did it. You know, there was a punishment in hell. And in Greek, they call hell Hades. And so you have to keep rolling up, down, up and down. And there's other nice punishments, like being on a planet where there's red-hot ground, and you're just there, I guess you're dancing all the time, but not kirtan. So in this way, there's an elaborate description of the punishments for different types of offenses. Incidentally, it's actually a heavier punishment for those who are Brahmins. If one is a Brahmin and he commits sinful activities, a heavier punishment than someone who's just like an ordinary Shudra. Special punishments like that. And I'm not going to tell you about all the punishments. They're pretty bad. So, after hearing all these punishments, Maharaj Parikshit, he was very compassionate. He didn't say, Jai Hari Bol. I'm so happy these demons get to get tortured. Actually, there's an interesting story in the Ramayana. When Ravana, always mix stories from Ramayana in my class. So anyway, so when Ravana, he went to Yamaraja's planet, and he was thinking, I'm going to defeat death. Because you find Ravana is always bragging that I have defeated death. So really, he went to Yamaraja's planet, and then he saw all these people, actually his uncles, being tortured by the Yamadutas. They were being whipped and tortured by the Yamadutas. And Ravana, he freed them. He said, all right, get away, you Yamadutas. Leave my people alone. So the Yamadutas had to stop for some time. And Ravana's uncles and relatives, because of the demons, Ravana was Brahma Rakshas, as we described yesterday. They were very happy. And then Ravana challenged Yamaraj. He said, I'm going to end all this punishment. Free all the sinful people. Haribo! You know, it's like when people try to free people from prison. Just recently in Canada, there was, someone hired a helicopter. And they landed, they went over the prison and they lowered a rope. And the prisoners were climbing up into the helicopter. So, yes, it happens like that. I don't know what happens in Fiji. They don't do that. Anyway, so Ravana, he was thinking like that. And so he challenged Yamaraj. He said, let's fight. And so he was fighting with Yamaraj. Finally, Yamaraj pulled out his ultimate weapon, the noose of death. And he was getting ready to fire at Ravana, but Lord Brahma came and said, no. I have given Ravana a benediction. He cannot die from demigods. He cannot die from higher living entities. The only persons he can die from, you know, the person who can kill him would be human beings and animals, like monkeys. So, therefore, Yamaraj put down his weapon and he went away. And Ravana was bragging at that particular point that I have defeated death personified. So he became even more proud that death has run away from me. He was screaming. So death has run away from me. Jai, Hudibo! And he became very proud. So anyway, so getting back to the story here, Parikshit Maharaj, he hears all these things, and naturally, feeling very compassionate, he wants to save people. That is a Vaishnava. Vanjakalpatharubhisha, kripasindhubhiyavacha. A Vaishnava wants to save people. When he hears people suffering, he doesn't think, Haribo is nice. Or even when someone offends him, he doesn't, like Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces. He didn't say, Lord Chaitanya, kill these people. He was feeling compassionate for them. So a Vaishnava's compassion is unlimited. So, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, how can these people be freed from hell or from the hellish condition? And Shukadeva Goswami, testing his disciple, said, basically by performing what's called prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means atonement. You know, doing some austerity so to counteract the sinful activity you perform. I'll give you an example in the modern day of prayaschitta. Let's say a criminal is caught here in Fiji. They make him run around naked in the army base, right? That's prayaschitta. That's a modern version of prayaschitta. Or they get beaten. In India, actually, they beat the criminals until they confess. So anyway, that's a modern version of prayaschitta, atonement. And you get purified. But what we find through this process of prayaschitta, which is what Maharaj Parikshit pointed out, is that a person still has a desire to do the same thing. I mean, I'll give you a practical example. Let's say in your own life, of course, you probably haven't run around the army base naked recently, but we can arrange for it. So, anyway, in your own life, let's say you eat a lot of food, overeat, and what happens? Does anyone know? You get a stomach ache. It's painful. And then you vow, I will never overeat again. Never again. Oh, no, it's so painful. And then, I mean, even you may have some stomach upset. The stomach is growling at you. Like that. And then you have to spend all day long in the toilet. And then 3 days later, you're back at the same thing. Right? I mean, it's amazing. You never learn. You never learn. Or you eat something that gives you a heart attack, and then you don't stop. Oh, you may stop for 2 weeks. What are they? You know, diets. I mean, for example, one of the most popular medical procedures is to put people on diets or help people lose weight. And people are so incapable of following a diet, even they know that the eating is killing them, the doctors ultimately have to staple the stomach. Where's our doctor here? So if you have trouble, you go to the doctor and he'll put a staple or a rubber band around your stomach. Right? And that way you can't eat too much. You could have eaten more than a little, it just comes out. Isn't it? Or even if it gets even worse, sometimes they have to tie the teeth together. So all you could do is eat through a straw. You know, they put one little hole there between the teeth. It's hard to gain weight when you're just eating through a straw. So because people just can't control their senses. They can't control. They don't rectify them. In other words, by suffering, you don't give up the desire. Of course, that's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. There's different types of sin. And one of them is the Papa Bijam. That doesn't mean father. Papa, you know. Papa means like sin. Bijam means seed. Papa Bijam. Papa Bijam. It means seed. And there's also Kuta. Kuta sometimes means where from in Sanskrit, but it also means the inclination. So the inclination to sin and the Papa Bijam always remain there, no matter how much austerity you perform. No matter how much austerity you perform. Just like you see, another example is these yogis in the Western world. They perform so much austerity, you know, the so-called yogis. There's this one yoga system called Bikram Yoga. Anyone's heard of that before? where they turn the temperature up in the room to 50 degrees when you're performing yoga. And no one's heard of that before. Most famous in the Western world is yoga. No one's heard of that? Hot yoga. You've heard about that. And then people are doing all these austerities and yoga practices and everything like that. But the founder of Acharya, of the Bikram yoga system, he's been caught having illicit sex so many times, it's unbelievable. You know, yoga, bogey yoga. And it's the most austere yoga you can imagine. Imagine 50 degrees and you're sweating and you're doing all these postures and standing on your head and chanting Om. And nothing happens. You don't get purified. You know, so therefore, punishment doesn't purify people. And so Shukadev Goswami, when he first gave that answer to Maharaj Parikshit, that prayaschitta is the answer, Maharaj Parikshit rejected it. He said, this is not the answer. Because we see Kundara Sotra, we see elephants, they go bathing too, but then they throw dirt on themselves. Or to give a modern example, people go to prison, and there's something called the recidivism rate. That's a fancy word. That means people come back to perform the same criminal activity over again and come back again to prison. In fact, people go to prison and they learn how to be better criminals. Like if you go to Yamaraj, you can associate with all the other demons. And you can learn, you know, there's fun. When we get out of here, we're going to have fun. You know, you meet with all the other sinful people at night after the punishments are over. Of course, they're never over. So it's amazing. Therefore, the criminal justice system doesn't work because it's based on just punishing people. And, of course, in the Western countries, the criminal justice system, you go to jail or prison, and it's like a country club. I remember I used to do a lot of prison preaching to people in prison. And I would walk in and there'd be a swimming pool and, you know, a gymnasium, you know, weightlifting. And they'd have soccer games all the time. And I was thinking, this is nice. You don't have to work a job. You don't have to worry about paying bills. And you get to be with all your demon friends all the time. Who would not want to be in such a place? Actually, there's many criminals, at least in America, after about 20, 30 years, they're let out of prison and they just come back to the door and say, please let me in again. So, in any case, the only way that one can give up these desires is by, the example is by frying the desire seed, the papabija. Just like you may have a seed, and that seed can lay there for many, many years. And then when you add water, the plant comes out again. And the example given sometimes is the pyramids in Egypt. In the pyramids in Egypt, they had many chickpeas, garbanzo beans that were there. And when the people took these out, they added water and they sprouted again. So in the same way, we may have so many desires lying in seed. And in the proper situation, it comes out again. Terrible, isn't it? So the only solution is to fry the desire seed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by transcendental sound. That's the only solution. The statement given in the beginning of sixth canto, first chapter, I believe it's text 15, or maybe it's in later chapter. It's Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangam Mangalamangasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. That the best method of atonement or purification of the heart, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu. That means what? Sankirtan. Now, the word Sankirtan, you pronounce it sometimes Sankirtan, but it's Sankirtan. This is the right pronunciation. It's a nasal N.
The word sankirtan means two things. One is congregational chanting, as we know, where everybody chants together. Another meaning of the word sankirtan is complete chanting or absorbed chanting. So how do you chant? Of course, congregational chanting is easy. You just get together and you have a kirtan. But how do you chant in absorbed chanting? I mean, how do you absorb your mind in the holy names of the Lord while you're chanting? When the mind has a tendency, chanchalahi manaha krishna, pramati balavadridam, tajaham nigraham manye, vayor ivashadushkuram. The mind has a tendency to wander. It's like the wind, isn't it? Like you're chanting japa in the morning, Hare Krishna, and you're thinking, what's for breakfast? Or you're thinking, I have to drive the children to school this morning, And you're planning your whole day out, isn't it, doctor? You're chanting Hare Krishna. Or you're thinking, so-and-so doesn't like me. Or if you're a brahmachari, no brahmacharis left. You're thinking, maybe I can marry so-and-so. And then, so many thoughts coming to the mind. So the way you become absorbed in the holy name is by understanding that the holy name is a person and approaching the holy name with some personal request. That's similar to what we call a sankalpa. Sankalpa means you have some reason. What is your reason for chanting? Just like we have when we do a marriage ceremony, we perform a sankalpa first, right? Does anyone know what a sankalpa is? So this is a marriage ceremony, so-and-so marrying so-and-so brahmachari, marrying so-and-so brahmacharini. You'll see it soon. Alex will see that. King for a day. So anyway, I won't tell you the rest of that. But anyway, so this is a marriage ceremony, marrying so-and-so with so-and-so. On this day of the moon, this particular day, the Dwadasi, in Suva, Fiji, surrounded by the Vaishnavas and the deities. That's a sankalpa. So when you chant, you should have some desire. We're not meant to be desireless. Of course, that desire should be like Krishna, make me your servant. Or make me a servant of your spiritual master. Of my spiritual master, not your spiritual master. Make me a servant of my spiritual master. Or free me from these anarthas. I mean, some nice desire like that, you should pray. Like some of the devotees, before they chant, they chant the Shikshashtaka. Cheto Dharpana Majanam. Of course, the first Shikshashtaka glorifies the holy name in terms of purifying the heart, giving us a taste for that which we were always anxious, as a benediction moon, etc. So have some desire. And then when you have something, then you should be begging Krishna, crying for that. Just like my godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he passed away a number of years ago. He said that he was opening up a crying school. Normally people cry for other things. Like the ladies cry a lot, right? Boo-hoo. But with the men, everybody should be crying for some spiritual purpose. Krishna, save me. Ayananda tanucha kinkaram patita mam vishamayim bhavam buddho kripya tapa pada pankaja. Sita duli sandrasam bachintayat. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. Help me, save me from this horrible ocean of birth and death. Or when you get more advanced, actually these different verses of the Shikshashtaka relate to different levels of spiritual advancement, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So when you get more advanced, you can actually pray, Ashlishabha Pada Padashtumam. Krishna, you can do anything to me you want, but just make me your servant. You can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you're completely free to do anything and everything. But you can't pray like that now. Now you've got to ask for something else. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadisha. Anyway. Now at least ask, Krishna, save me, save me. I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But no, you're just chanting to get your rounds finished with. That's your problem. Like you're just chanting, like Prabhupada gave the example one time, he was chanting on his beads, moved down the last counter bead to 16, and Prabhupada said, now I'm finished, now I can do any damn thing. Of course, Prabhupada wasn't thinking like that, but he was showing us how we think. Getting the rounds finished. That's our objective, rather than being absorbed in Krishna's holy names. So Sankirtan means to be absorbed in Krishna's holy name. Sajmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Anghasam. It is the most auspicious thing in the universe. Jagat, Mangala. Mangala means auspicious. Anghasam, it frees you from sin. Mahatama Pi Kauravya, the great souls, they do it, they recommend it. Mahatama Pi Kauravya, Vijakantaka Nishkatam, and that's the best atonement. So that's how we get rid of all these desires. By Sankirtan, by absorbed chanting. And these desires are like witches that are haunting you. Bhukti and Mukti. They're described as witches. You understand? The desire for material things. It's like a witch. You know what a witch is? You know, it's haunting. Ghost. Haunting you. So, bhukti mukti. Siddhi kama. Sakale ashanta. It's making you disturbed. Only by becoming nishkam, Krishna bhakta nishkam, matayeva ashanta, can you become happy. So therefore, this absorbed chanting is very important. Therefore, I recommend that whenever devotees have time, they chant more rounds, especially on Ekadasi. Tomorrow is Ekadasi, right? Saturday is Ekadasi? I usually like to chant 64 rounds on Ekadasi. So if you, those of you who don't have work, why not try that? It won't hurt you. Nobody's ever died from chanting 64 rounds. I was just reading in the Bhakti Loka and the Harinam Chintamani of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, as you advance more and more and more, then you begin to want to chant and 3 lakhs of rounds a day. That's 3 times 64. So 64 is little. 16 is just like the warm-up before the game. You understand? Like if you have some soccer game, the team just warms up, you know, does some exercise and some stretching. So we warm up by chanting 16 rounds, and then 64 is the game. So you try that. You try that sometime. Maybe tomorrow, since it's Saturday, some of you don't have to work. It's not so hard. And you just be absorbed in Krishna's name, and you'll find your whole consciousness in life changes. And all your desires will appear insignificant in comparison. It will actually get rid of the desire seeds in the heart. Everything's there in the holy name. However, you can't use the holy name to justify sinful activity. Like that's one of the offenses on chanting, right? To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So, let's say Ajamil, he wasn't doing that. He was chanting Namabash. He wasn't using the holy name to do that. And other people like Haridas Thakur coming in touch with the prostitute wasn't doing that either. And neither was Valmiki when he was chanting Ram Nam. He wasn't using the holy name. So we should stop sinful activities. The way, also at the same time as we chant, we have to become aware of the anarthas and guard against them. Anarthas come from 4 different places. Sinful activities, pious activities, offenses against Vaishnavas, and from the byproducts of bhakti. Those are the 4 sources of anarthas. That means, it's easy to understand sinful activities. Pious activities, Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, like just trying to help people in a mundane way without giving them Krishna consciousness. Of course, offenses against Vaishnavas, And then products, the byproducts of bhakti means that you become proud. Like when you put someone in a position, they become proud. Like when a devotee gets knowledge, he becomes proud. Oh, I know everything about Krishna. Lord Brahma said, others may say they know about Krishna, but I don't know anything. So that's a danger of being a devotee. It's actually dangerous to be a devotee because you get proud and people respect you. Oh, you know so much. So we should guard against these things and at the same time absorb ourselves in Krishna's name. And then there's no problem. So any questions or comments? Is the pujari there? No, not yet. Not yet. So any questions or comments? No? Everybody's so quiet. Sleeping yoga. So, yeah.
When your mind gets really, really loud.
When it gets really loud, then when you chant japa, you take a nice walk and go for a 10-kilometer walk chanting japa. I mean, the way sometimes that I chant 64 rounds on Kadasi is I've mentioned this before to you all. I have the devotees drive me about 20 kilometers away from the temple, and they just leave me there, and I have to walk back chanting Hare Krishna. We should do that with the devotees. Just drop them all off in Nahua today. And don't give them any money for taxi. Yes, drop everyone off tomorrow. Drop everyone off in Nahua with their japa beads. And they can walk back. I mean, what's it? How far away is Nahua from here? 36? Well, a little too far. Then they would chant two lots of names. Okay, where's 20 kilometers away from here? Nasauri. So drop all the roadies off in Nasauri. Don't let them eat until they come back here and have a big feast waiting for them. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, after the Harinam, you walk back from Nasauri. Who's going to do that? I challenge you. Actually, we had one devotee here, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, who walked all those distances, right? I challenge the devotees, my challenge. After the Harinam, walk back. Any volunteers? Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, fantastic. I won't be here to see you, but I'll have witnesses. I'll be walking to South of South. Ah. Not really. How far?
98.
Oh, that would be like 5 lakhs of names a day. Can't do that. But, yeah, try that tomorrow. See how it changes your life. I mean, wear a hat so you don't get too much sun on your head or something like that. And take water with you. You know, you could stop and drink water and everything because it's too hot to... Don't fast from water on Ekadasi if you're going to do that, because it's very dangerous. You can get kidney problems. And then you'll feel so happy. You'll come back and you'll be in ecstasy and you won't have any material desires. Anyway... Yeah, so that's it. Tasmad Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagan Mangalam Hagasam Mahatam Vikar Vyavijikantik and Nishkutam. Okay, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Shubhapad Ki Jai. And you also get... Whoops. And you also get plenty of vitamin D so you won't get sick for the next month. Yeah.